Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Guard Up Knicks podcast. I'm your host, Apollo Reed, and I'm here with the big bro, Andre Jalil. We got our guest hosts, Jay Ellis and Ryan G here, as well as Rick the Ruler. Of course, Jay Ellis and Ryan G, if you don't know it, from the Nick of Time show. Shout out to you. How y'all doing, man?
Doing good, man. We good here. We glad to be here talking some Knicks all-season basketball with you guys, man.
Course, yeah, man, no doubt. Let's get into it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming. So let's start it off with the most, I guess, the thing that everybody's been talking about the most right now is the draft, of course, which is coming up. I think, was it next Thursday? Not this Thursday, but next Thursday, I believe.
Yeah, it's the 23rd yeah. of the June. 23rd.
Yeah.
Can't wait for it to be over.
So, yeah, I can't wait. So, yeah, man, the talk of the town is the draft, of course, and us moving up from 11 somehow and obtaining Jaden Ivey at number 4. Somehow we're supposed to be doing that. I don't know how we're going to do that. Of course, there's a lot of Knicks fans who want us to make that move, but those same Knicks fans as well don't want us to trade anything to make that move. So I don't know. JLS, let me know how you're feeling about that whole Jaden Ivey situation.
Listen, man, I'm learning about these draft picks, and Jaden Ivey is looking legit, man. He's looking like he can be a player, but you know everything is not 100%. So you still have to proceed with caution. Like, for me, and a lot of Knicks fans, I know every Knicks fan is looking at Jaden Ivey and thinking, "All right, if we can just move Julius Randle,
right,
and Taj Gibson, then you know we'll be fine. We can get Jaden Ivey." And I would love for that to be the truth, but I'm not sure if that's it. Once you start talking about moving guys like Obi Toppin, and then quickly everybody starts to wince. And I'm not gonna lie, I might start to wince too.
Yeah.
But if by some miracle the Sacramento Kings want to pair Julius Randle with Sabonis, and they'll take some first round picks for Jaden Ivey, and they're down with it, I'm cool with it. Especially if Walt Perrin, that man in Utah who's had a track record of being right with the draft all the time, is signing off on it. If they're signing off with it, then I'm going to sign off on it as well. Once it starts to add other young pieces, particularly Obi and IQ, I might wince a little bit. I love Cam. I might be willing to move on from Cam only because of the depth situation over here.
Right.
I'm not sure. Not that Cam is not going to be a player, because I believe he will be a player. But I'm just not sure if Tibbs is going to play him, if he's going to get a fair shot. So I'd rather not lose him for nothing. Maybe Grimes, I would still wince. It would still hurt a little bit.
Right.
But a guy who can create plays and make other people better and possibly be that guy who can attract defense with his athleticism and kick it out to other players and grow into a playmaker and possibly be a star player, which is something that we don't have right now. We have a bunch of like really solid role players with ounces of being stars, like maybe, but
yeah,
the most star quality than anybody else. I might do something like that, but
right.
Hopefully, I left something for somebody else. Sorry,
you good. Rick, have you been following anything at all with the? I know it's a lot of guys, a lot of names out there who, if we don't get them, it's like, all right, well, why'd I do all that studying? But I understand. But did you hear anything about – what do you hear about Jaden Ivey?
Absolutely nothing, man. I defer to you when it comes to these guys coming in, man. If you say they're good, they're good.
I always said if I was like going to start a team, I always had Joshua Scout. He's like the best guy. If they nice, but Joshua say be gold as far as who he picks.
Listen, I hope so, because I wouldn't like to have a platform to talk if I didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
I need to hear. Hold on. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan, yeah. What do you feel about Jaden Ivey?
Well, I think for me it's pretty simple, because when I look at the Knicks roster, I see the pieces that the Knicks have. And when I look at it, I'm like, the Knicks already have a lot of solid. The Knicks need dynamic now. You know, they need a dynamic player that's going to, you know, help change, you know, like help give the Knicks the extra push to get to the next level. if the Knicks stay at 11, more than likely they're just going to get another solid piece to add to the solid pieces that they already have. And, you know, that's not going to push the Knicks anywhere. The Knicks are going to pretty much be in the same position. It's just that they just add another piece, you know, another solid piece to the puzzle. So
right. It
would make sense for the Knicks to try to move up to see if they can get that dynamic player. And when you look at Jaden Ivey, he looks like he can be that dynamic player, future all-star based on, you know, his play in college and all the different attributes that he has. So it's not surprising to me because based on what you see with the Knicks front office, they still think that they haven't found their point guard of the future yet.
Right.
You know, quickly has shown flashes, but he has yet to show, or maybe you can say he's yet to be given the chance to show that he can be a starting point guard. So you know that they're still iffy on quickly. They got McBride, where he's barely got any playing time whatsoever. And they still got Rose as well. So it's like, and Rose is not a long-term option. Rose is just short-term. So it's like,
forgot about Rose. That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. So if the Knicks think that they can get their franchise point guard with Jaden Ivey, then that solves like issues for the next 10 years at point guard. So, I mean, to me, it makes sense for the Knicks to try to move up and get Ivey. But the thing is, of course, like, what are you going to give up to get him? That's always the biggest question.
Right.
So my thing when it comes to that, I always say this because I think we get attached to the Knicks players because we're Knicks fans, right? But I try to look at it this way. You know what I'm saying? If you were another team and you were coming to play the Knicks, you would look at them and be like, we're going to beat the Knicks. Like, the Knicks, it's an easy win. Like, because we don't really have anybody. I guess we have Julius Randle. We have RJ, when you look at our rookies we just had this past year, nobody's really worried about these guys or anything like that. So if we did have to lose somebody, I think that I don't know how the Knicks pull it off. I don't know what we trade with Sacramento to get that fourth pick and get this kid, but the kid looks good. I'm not big on college basketball, but from the film that I watched, when they started talking about Jaden Ivey, I said, wow, like this kid has a lot of size for that position. He's like that point guard. He's got a lot of potential. He's like the guy you trust, what's that point guard's name? You just said quickly. I don't know why he just doesn't seem solid with the ball just yet. You know, he's like looking for the foul a lot of times. He doesn't look strong when he goes to the basket. Jaden Ivey seems like he changes all of that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's like tough. He's like got big size for, he's only 6'4", but it just feels like he's bigger than that. And I don't know how you pull it. I don't know how the Knicks pull it off, but it looks like it would be exciting if we had him. I'm not sure who we lose. I know they're not getting rid of RJ Barrett, who's supposed to be the future. He's not going anywhere. Julius Randle, I think I speak for everyone here. If they said we had to lose him, we'd be like, all right, you know what I mean?
But I'll drop him today.
Julius, you know, because he's like one of those dudes that self-destructs. You know, the game ain't going his way. The bigger the game, it just seems like the bigger he self-destructs. You know what I mean? And then when the game is easy, and anytime that it just seems like when the starters get off the floor, the bench starts scoring, and he gets back and it sabotages the game. It's almost like, whoa. Okay, he's bringing the ball up. Just think that I want to say this because you guys haven't been on this show yet, where I think a lot of this is Tibbs fault when it comes to that point guard. Because when we got when we got Kemba, I'm thinking Kemba, he's gonna run the floor. I saw Tibbs say, give it to Julius. I saw him a few times. We went to the first game last season, and he took it out of his hand and pointed to Julius. And I remember looking, and I looked at both of them. I was like, yo, y'all saw that?
Listen.
He just told Kemba to give the ball to Julius. So I don't know if we get this kid or not, and what we're going to do. I'm really not in love with Tibbs being a coach. I think that's a big factor when it comes to who we get moving forward as a point guard. If we lose Julius, then he's gonna have to let the point guard be the point guard. But I just can't stand that 6'11 guy bringing the ball up, dribbling, and making decisions with the rock. So hopefully,
my thing with our situation is we don't have any sure things, like from top to bottom.
Other than RJ.
No, I mean from the front office to to the bench. We don't have anything that we guarantee we got a star here. You know, RJ, of course, you guys know RJ is my guy. But I can't say that he is a surefire, like he's going to be a star just yet. I can't say that yet. And I'm probably one of the biggest RJ fans there is. Like, yes. But unfortunately, he's probably our best player. And that's somebody who I can't even say is a star yet. So from the coaching staff, like, we don't have any sure things. Like, Tibbs, there's questions about him. And, oh, we'll keep him because he helps us with this. But, you know, he lacks here. You know what I mean? Like, there's never any sure things. And that's been an issue, especially when you're trying to build a roster and develop players. You know, I feel bad for Cam because he doesn't get the opportunity that other guys get. Because Tibbs, you know, for good reason, has he really likes Quentin Grimes, you know, for good reason. You know, yeah. I don't blame him.
But that's what Jay was saying earlier about we got to lose some of these guys. Somebody's got to go. Yeah. Like, we got too many people at these positions. How many guards?
Right. So, and this is what I'm saying. Jaden Ivey, I don't think he is the game changer that we're looking for. Right. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're looking from the point guard perspective. Great player, you know what I mean? Great guy to you know, put in the backcourt with RJ and, you know.
We don't know that yet. That's the whole thing about the draft.
Right. You don't really know these things. And that's what I'm saying. There's no sure things. Even in the draft, there's no sure things that we can get. Even if we move up to four, how do we know that the guy we get is going to be that guy?
And then it'd be like, with the Knicks' luck, we move up to number four, and then number 11 be the MVP of the season. Yeah, I mean,
that's why we don't want to give up too much for him.
Because I don't even know why you put that in the atmosphere, bro, because now it's going to happen.
I guess we got to see how it goes. But let me say this real quick, dealing with what we got in the playoffs. I always love teams. Like, I don't like Boston, like, as a city, kind of, like, you know, as a Knicks fan.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I love, like, the Boston team. Like, these guys, like, who would have imagined that this team shouldn't be in the finals? You know what I'm saying? Like who was gonna say Tatum, Brown, Marcus Smart? Like, this is like these dudes are playing basketball,
right?
You know what I'm saying? With that talent level, I feel like the Knicks could have been in it. I feel like, you know, any team, I guess, but somehow this stuff works. That they don't have a superstar. There's no LeBron. You know what I'm saying?
Right. They
don't have to play young. It's just like these dudes are playing basketball. And it works out. And I just feel like that's my wish for the Knicks. Like, let's get, like, a team that works.
Right.
You get, like, a good leader. You get, like, because, like, their point guard, who's their point guard? Like, Marcus Smart?
Yeah.
Like, what do you need in the NBA now? Like, you know what I mean? If you got Stephen Curry, you got Marcus Smart. It's like, how does that work? Like, you know what I mean? Defensive player of the year, the most dangerous scorer in the league, and they're both meeting, and it's just, like, so evenly matched. We don't know. Nobody could say who's really going to win.
Yeah, it depends on how you build out your team. It depends on how you build out your team.
But, right. But it's like the luck of the draw. Like, you know what I mean? And, like, these kids, we all can agree that they all play hard. These guys work hard and they play hard.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Boston. I feel like Boston will out hustle any team. And I think that's how they got here. Whatever the case. And you can't coach that. That's kind of like one of those things that you know, you get lucky with that with certain players. But I think it's worth it. We have to get a solid point guard. That's always been for the longest.
See, well, go ahead.
Let me just say one thing about Jaden, and this is the thing that, because, you know, I'm still learning too, but I'm collecting intel. And what I know is there's still question marks about him at point guard because of the system that was ran for him. He was kind of used as a guy who kind of played a lot of off ball and cutting off ball and didn't really have the chance to do, like, a lot of primary ball handle work, pick and roll type of work. Mm-hmm. But when he did do that type of work, he yielded some results. Not to say he's the best playmaker ever, because he hasn't had, like, the reps that, like, a Ja Morant has.
Right.
But he's shown some, which is why some people might be saying, you know what, trade up for him. And since he has elite skill, because that's what you're looking for when you're drafting people, right? You're looking for people who have elite skills, whether it be shooting, athleticism, vision, whatever. He has this elite skill in athleticism. He can halfway shoot. So if some people are like, you know what, let's roll on it because he has elite skill. He can shoot decently, and let's roll the dice and see what happens. Because as we've seen with not to compare him to Ja, but if you can get into the teeth of the defense and hang in the air and be able to kick it out like he can, then maybe you can make things happen and maybe you can hang your hat on something on the offensive end. Because right now we don't really
have anything to hang our hat on. And we've seen, I mean, maybe, and that's Tibbs' fault, like you said earlier, because we had,
right?
Because maybe we'd have something if we played more Obi and quickly together, but we haven't had that chance.
Let me ask you this though, Cap. Right. Who else? How many guards we got in the draft this year? How many like point guards they got?
There's a ton. There's a ton of names that have been flying around. Of course, Jaden Ivey is one of them. You talk about Ty Washington, and there's also Dyson Daniels.
What's he slated to go? Where are these other guards slated to land?
A lot of these guys. Well, Dyson Daniels is doing good in the combine, so I'm guessing he's moving his stock up. So he might not actually be able to land to us as previously.
Even if we had a number 11?
Yeah, not at 11.
See, because I feel like this, Jaden. What I think about Jaden, right? I don't think that the Knicks are moving up because they might be that big on this kid. I just think that they need that pick to secure the point guard that they feel most comfortable with, right? You know what I mean? It's not like, yo, this kid, like you said, is it worth it for the fourth pick?
Right.
It might be worth it no matter what. Like, if we lose in any way, right? Like, if we don't get the picks we want or we got to make trades and so forth and so on. It's another season up in the air. So they're not moving up to number four because they're moving up to number four because they absolutely have to, if they could, to get the point guard, to get the position. Because if you look at his profile, he's the kind of profile that Tibbs likes. Big point guard, you know what I'm saying? Probably plays better defense. Not so much of a dribbler, but somebody who could, you know, when we did it with what's my favorite point guard ever that we had last season?
Who?
That played for the Suns.
Alfred Payton.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, so you have somebody like that, but that was
sarcasm. My bad. My bad.
Yeah. Yeah, so Alfred was like that guy. If you look at his side, Alfred is, I would say he's big, whatever the case, but he plays defense. He's solid that way. And he loved the same thing he did with Reggie. That he loved him at that, but he could shoot. But he could play defense. He couldn't do much else. You know what I'm saying? He did the same thing with Dallas this year in the playoffs. Like, if he's on, he's on. He's not, he's not. Mm-hmm. But I just think that we trying to get that position only because, like, we absolutely have to get that. Oh, that's great. Like the guy that Tibbs wants. Right. Tibbs that have to show up. Right. You know what I'm saying? He'd have to show that his coaching, what's the word? His coaching skills or whatever the case may be, if we get that guy. Because after that, don't matter who we trade for after and all the moves we make in the offseason, now that we got a point guard, you got to show up now. Now you got to show what you got.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how great of a coach Tibbs is. You know what I mean? Like, I know he's been a good coach, but how great of a coach, like, you know, and, you know, I don't have any problems.
Look at what's this Boston dude's name? Where he come from?
Who?
Yeah. The coach. Yeah, I like
him. Dude in Boston. You both
know him? Email Doka?
He's an assistant coach. Yeah.
Well, he played under Pop. And he coached under Pop for years.
That's right.
So, I mean,
right.
That's why, you know.
But, yeah, but still, but now you're looking at all these other coaches, like one, my favorite coach ever. Who are we talking about? What's his name? The offensive coach they keep hiring. I don't know. He keep getting jobs.
Oh, Mike D'Antoni.
Oh, D'Antoni.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? This dude is making all of these coaches look bad. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, he come out of nowhere. Like, not out of nowhere. He was assistant coach and everything. But this is his first head coach job?
Yeah.
He's going to the finals? You don't get to the final by mistake.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's insane. Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure what's the guy that just moved up to the front office in Boston?
Brad
Stevens. Yeah. I was thinking the other day, like, imagine being Brad Stevens and you stop coaching and that year your team goes to
he probably won it.
I'd feel some kind of way. I'd be like, oh, so you guys didn't want to play with me. All right, cool. I get it. But
My bad. That just reminds me of the whole Kyrie and the KD thing. Like, you got the two teams that these two stars, KD was with Golden State. They go to the finals. Not that, you know, it was right after. Then you got Kyrie. They go to the finals. You know what I mean? It's just like one of these guys are going to look really bad. They already look bad. Yeah. But that was just a little side note. I just thought that was interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
They told me about ESPN.
Huh?
They talked about ESPN. Like, who looks worse, KD or Kyrie?
Also, shout out to the chat. I was in there and I forgot to
mention. Where the chat at? I didn't even see the chat. Oh, Jose Garcia in here, Pudge in here.
Pudge, Cody, Jose Garcia, just everybody, RBL basketball, everybody's in here. Shout out to you guys. You guys always come through and show some love. But I mentioned that because Cody actually made me remember. There's a guy in the draft who actually he trains. That is his name is Bryce McGowan's. He played for Nebraska. I actually like the guy. He has a really solid game. He averaged 16.8 points, 5.2 rebounds, and 1.4 assists in his freshman season. He's 6'9", 170, 180 pounds. Good, you know, long wingspan. And, you know, he's a pretty solid player as well. So that's somebody else that, you know, they can sneak under the radar and get. I wouldn't be surprised if Walt, you know, had his eyes on somebody like that because he's good at this draft stuff. But let's move on from the draft too much. You know, I don't want to flood it. We've been here for 20 minutes talking about just one guy, really. But we were talking about a point guard position.
Right.
Quickly, last season, he averaged 11.3 points, 3.2 rebounds, and 3.5 assists. He didn't start the season fairly well, but towards the end, he lit up, and he was really looking like the player we all wanted him to be. My opinion on Quickly, I don't think he's just ready yet to be the starting point guard, but I do want him at some point. I think he does at sometimes possess the qualities that you need in a point guard, but not enough to where he can lead your team at that position just yet. But you know, there's also been another guy that Knick fans have been enamored with, but you know, at this point, I highly doubt we have a chance to get him. We just hired his dad, but Jalen Brunson, who plays for the Dallas Mavericks,
and is he that nice?
I mean, did 21 and six.
He's good.
This is playoff.
He's a good player.
21.6 points in the playoff. This is 21.
Ryan just said he's another solid player.
Yeah, 3.7. And this is he's playing next to Luka.
I mean, I just
he can be dynamic though. He can.
I think he can't score like Quickly can though. Well, not
even. He can't score like Quickly.
Brunson could score. That boy is a little bit magical. He is.
Brunson can score better than Quickly can. Quickly,
well, from three, I'm thinking from three. Quickly could shoot.
Yeah,
but sometimes he's off.
Right.
And he can knock down free throws, and like that's another one. You know, we had the whole RJ missing free throws and stuff like that. So he's a good point guard. I don't know though, Cap. Here's the thing: like, when is he ready? Like, if he's not ready yet, Quickly.
I mean, but this is the thing when we talked about trade pieces, you know, Quickly might have to be one of those guys that you have to include.
I swear to you, we trade Quickly. He gonna be the league.
I'm all right.
First of all, they're going to go crazy. Next to it is gonna be crazy if they trade Quickly. First of all,
I'm telling you because I'm gonna be honest.
He's a fan favorite.
I feel like how you feel, and it's not even about that. I just think that the boy is going. He's going into his third season. He already could score. Last year he toughened up a little. He was doing all of those fouls and flailing, and going up, acting like he was trying to draw the foul and not score. He did a little bit better last season. I think he grows into it a little bit better. I think he's going to get better. Him and Obi together were looking really good this past season, and I think Julius is in Obi's way, and I think that is another big piece that the his style of play, Obi, can open the floor, and if Quickly is in there with that kind of player, running power forward, flying around off, you know what I mean, baseline, and you know, I just think that it looks a lot better for Quickly. I mean, this guy from Dallas, Brunson, I like him. He could score. The boy is nice, but it was something about the playoffs. They said it just wasn't going to happen. I don't know if you actually believe that'll go down.
Go ahead, Ryan, because I'm gonna go.
Oh,
go ahead.
All right, well, I'll say this with Jalen Brunson. Really good point guard. He can score, get to the basket, his free throws and all that. This is the one thing I worry about with getting Brunson because, first of all, if you're going after Brunson, you have to pay this man at least 85, 90 mil. Like, they already came out with that, saying that that's his price tag right now. So you're going to have to definitely dish out cash for him. And another thing, too, you have to remember, Brunson is playing with a guy in Dallas named Luka, which is one of the best players in the NBA. I worry that if Brunson comes to the Knicks where we don't have a guy on our team like Luka, and Brunson's going to have to probably take over as
one of the main guys on the team.
Yeah. Like, will he be able to show out like he did in Dallas with a team that's lesser than the team he had in Dallas? That kind of worries me as well. So it's like you're committing $85-90 million to a guy where you're not even sure if you give him the keys to the team, if he's going to perform up to his standard like how he performed in Dallas with a player, with one of the players who's like one of the best in the league. Right. So that's the only thing that worries me about bringing Brunson to New York.
Ryan, let me ask you this. If we get Jalen Brunson, we keeping Julius?
I mean,
how does that look? I think, you know what I mean? Like you said, because I think a lot of the things is the dynamics. Like everybody can say, Klay Thompson this, Klay Thompson that. You put him on the Knicks. Like, is he going to be the Klay Thompson he is in Golden State? You know what I mean? Like, it's just a lot of, you know, it's like the dynamics, the coach, all of those different things they factor in that make a guy like Brunson have the space he has to do what he does. You know what I'm saying? And like you said, and the 90 million thing.
Yeah.
And then the lights of the garden, like it's a whole different city. It's like a completely different, but that 90 million, boy, like I'd be like, you know, Quickly's looking a lot better to run the point.
Yeah, absolutely. Million. Absolutely. go ahead, JS. What you gonna say?
Now I have the same concerns Ryan has, but for different reasons. Like I feel like that the Dallas team, they kind of have like a 5-out team, like the Knicks 54 win team. Mm-hmm. If you take Jalen Brunson off the Dallas Mavericks and put him on the New York Knicks with the spacing that we have here, I'm not exactly sure you can replicate the offensive performances he had over here with the lack of spacing, because there, like, it's a different animal over there. Unless we end up trading for Mo Bamba or something to open up the floor for him, I'm not exactly sure if you can replicate that. Now, not to say that boy ain't good, because that boy is good, because he's worked out. He's like a solid guard, and he can bully people. And when if you're a short guy and you don't have elite speed and you don't have that elite three, if you can body some people, it's going to work out.
He's not a Tibbs point guard.
He's not a Tibbs point guard, but I feel like he plays good enough defense. And what I do like about him, because you know me, I like percentages. His percentages have always been good.
Right.
So I feel like he'll be a decent enough player. He'll be a good player. He'll be a good player. If we get him, I wouldn't be upset. But I still feel like I don't want to roll the dice on Quickly, even though I have questions on him. If you're looking at Quickly year two versus Jalen Brunson year two, right? Mm-hmm. Quickly is doing pretty well. Like 3 points a game.
Right.
He struggled in the beginning of the season trying to figure out how to balance being scoring and being a point guard. By the end of the season, he's giving you triple doubles. He looks like he's seeing the floor pretty well. His shot diet changed. Yeah. He's changed from doing the floater to getting to the hole to draw more fouls. Right. I feel like to give him a lot of more runway from the jump and just tell him to go and build over what he did last season, there is a chance.
That's what he needs.
Can outperform Jalen Brunson next season for cheaper. And that doesn't mean he's going to be our like championship point guard, but it can mean our stock rises as a whole. We're at least good enough to get into the playoffs and make some noise, and our program looks good. Our outer look looks like, hey, the Knicks can develop players, and it looks good for everybody. Quickly hits. It looks good for everybody.
Yeah, it looks good
for everybody. Again, so now let's say, Jay, now here's my thing, because I feel exactly how you feel about Quickly, because I feel like his outlook
is future. Hold on. My bad. I just want to hear what Rick said, because Rick didn't get a chance to get his
input. Bad, Ricky?
Yeah. Go ahead. Let me hear what you were
saying. Nah. Don't stop the fuck. Go ahead, Dre. I'll speak after.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just going to say that what was I going to say then? Now you don't fuck the whole thing up.
Quickly. It was about Quickly, IQ.
But I was going to say I agree about what I feel about Quickly is, Quickly is not – there's no team, no matter where Quickly goes, that team is not a championship team because they got Quickly. It all depends on, like, who else you have. Like, I just feel like the biggest anchor in a bad way for this team that's anchoring us down is Julius Randle. I always feel like he's, like, our best and worst player.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to get to him.
Yeah, you know, so I just think that no matter, because the whole thing is again, we talk, Jay, when we get to this point, we talk about quickly, and we got to talk about the coach. We got to talk about Tibbs and how Tibbs likes to use him and how Tibbs likes him off the bench.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the reason why he's not starting is because he likes him off the bench and he likes him with the second unit. You understand? So now, say Julius is out of the picture. So can we move the bench to the starting unit? Now you have Obi, and now we have these other pieces.
You got to.
And, well, we had to do that last season. And then but the season before that, you dropped your starting point guard in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And not only did you drop him, you dropped him completely. Nice. You didn't even bring him off the bench. Like, you just completely, right? And so, and that's our coach.
Crazy.
And so those are the things. And so I feel like it's not necessarily just the personnel. Now it's like, all right, we got this guy's here, that guy there. Because I love quickly. I really do. I think the kid, when you look at Trae Young, and you look at Stephen Curry, and what's his name from Phoenix, the other kid that could shoot lights out.
Phoenix.
Miles Bridges.
Nah. The starter.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you mean Devin Booker?
Oh, Devin Booker.
Devin Booker. Like, you see, these guys are shooters. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, like, as far as I'm concerned, I'm sorry. I thought Phoenix was going to take it. You know what I mean? I thought, I don't know what happened. I thought Phoenix was going to take it. They got the point guard and the shooting guard they needed. I thought that was going to happen, but it didn't. And you have great players. You had CP3. You had this shooter, and it's just like, it doesn't work. So what I'm saying is, somebody like quickly is not going to make a break. I think that he'd be better for us as a starter over Brunson for the price tag alone. I'm going with quickly. I just think 90 million, the Knicks keep making those kind of mistakes. Crazy. And then we get Brunson, but we know his talent, but then the situation is so completely different that he doesn't have the room. Like we talked about real quick. Joe. I'm sorry, Ricky, go ahead.
No, it's cool. Like my biggest concern is just because I agree wholeheartedly with what Ryan said. He said that we got side players, but my thing is, we don't really have an identity. Like last season, there was two things that were just off. One, we moved from defense first to kind of offense first, and it kind of was a huge adjustment to make. And then you had Julius Randle playing like he was mad that he was even on the team. Like, he's cursing out the fans. And so
coaches.
It was just like his mental space kind of affected the team. And so it didn't really matter who we had, because he was going to play regardless. His contract forces him to play, and the team wasn't really the same from the previous year. So yeah, we can get a dynamic point guard, we can get this person, we can make this trade. If Julius Randle is there playing with the same mentality he did last year, we're going to be in trouble regardless of who comes to the team.
Like, if we add to that what you said also, Ryan. So now let's say, like you said, Ricky, if we get somebody like Brunson, like you said, Ryan, it has to be somebody, it would have to be somebody big enough where if Julius was still on the team, that he doesn't mind being a number two, because he thinks he's number one. So if we get Brunson is not that guy where you're like, I'm letting Brunson run this team.
It's
like,
the
he's
coach
not
too, man. It's the
coach, man, too.
They took the ball out of Kemba's hands, like you said.
Yeah. Your ball. I couldn't understand that. We came in here with a point guard. Yeah, and he took the ball a bunch of times. I watched him. I couldn't believe it. He's like, yo, give it up. I'm like, what you talking? Yeah. And so you seen Kemba give it up, because Kemba, that boy is a professional.
Yeah.
That boy is a professional. He could have said a whole lot of stuff all season because they benched him.
Yeah.
And then we got, you know, what was it, COVID? People start getting hit with all you know, COVID and all of that.
Yeah.
And they had to bring him back. Yeah. And then they said what they said. He ain't playing for the rest of the season again.
They came to an agreement.
He dropped 30 points. Yeah. He dropped like 40 the game. Then he came back.
Yeah.
He dropped
then,
like 40.
Yeah, then he had 40, and then he had a triple-double on Christmas.
Bro, yeah. And then they benched him again, said, yeah, we getting him ready for next season. Let's do 38.
After that. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Yo,
his body couldn't hold up with that one.
Yeah. I'm looking at these dudes like, I mean, if you feel like you got to bench the dude, or you got to see, you know, a game here and there so that he could keep his knees, he get a little older. That's one thing. I think everybody respects that and understands that. But you talk first, you bench the dude. He was like, yo, he's a professional, he's this, that, and the third. And you're looking like, what'd he do? Mm-hmm. And they didn't bench, what's his name, Fournier.
Yeah.
I thought Fournier was like the worst defender out there.
I mean, Fournier, he did break John Starks' record, but I mean,
I could have done without that. You know what I mean? Like I didn't have to see Fournier shoot that much just to beat John Stark's record. Like it wasn't that important to me. That was just personally.
He couldn't keep up with anybody though, bro.
Especially not making the playoffs while doing that. Like he didn't.
Who was it? I think who was it? Jose Garcia said it. Or Cody said it. One of them said it. Like look at Boston now without what's his name on there?
Without
Fournier. Kemba.
Kemba and Fournier, really. Actually.
Yeah, we're all of them. Yeah. Just like we getting the throwaways, yeah. But it looked like Dallas took all the throwaways and they went further than
and
we
they
did.
Made something out of it. So you know, it sounds like, looks like it might be something here. You know, yeah. Unfortunately. So I do want to talk about because you know we did talk about Julius Randle. I mean, we can go a little bit further into the Julius Randle situation. Let's do Julius Randle. Okay, let's just make a segment just about Julius Randle and see how positive we can keep it. So Julius Randle this season averaged 20.1 points per game and like 9.9. So 20 and 10, five assists. You know, looking from the outside in, what are you guys complaining about? Knicks fans always complaining about someone that's good. I think I'm scared about how these guys can develop if he's here past the trade deadline of this upcoming season, because I tend to believe that he will be on the team when the season starts. Unfortunately, I don't want him here, but I think he's going to be here. I do think that they're going to try to raise his value so that by the trade deadline, they could actually get something of value for him.
Dear God, I hope so.
Yeah. Right. but everything has to go right in order for that to happen. Unless, you know, yeah, or we'll have to just sell them to somebody. And that's, we don't want to become sellers in the Julius Randle sweepstakes because we're not going to get anything out of it.
You're not going to get the value.
The value, right.
The monetary value. The value as a player, who knows, but the monetary value.
I mean, you're not going to get someone else that's going to give you 20 and 10 if you trade Julius Randle at this point. And five assists. I mean, like, those stats are good in any other player's body besides Julius Randle. You know what I mean? Like, it's just odd how he affects the team and still gets good stats. It's kind of weird. But that's just, you know, a tidbit of my information, you know, my observation on how I view Julius Randle. But you guys let me know how you feel about Julius. JLS, how you feel about Julius?
I already said earlier, man, any trade is happening, I'll drop him to JFK myself. I'm tired of this, man. It's funny because I really
yo, you need to drive him.
Listen, you ain't got to hit me. You ain't got to give me gas money. You ain't got
money. I got you. Yeah,
word. And the thing is, I defended the dude. I because you know because you do Nick and Tom show. People call in, they angry. I was kind of telling people to chill, but at a certain point of the season, I was like, I can't defend this dude. <You can't. laughs> Now I'm looking crazy.
Right.
Defending what's going on right here. Now, my thing is to me, it's all about addition by subtraction at this point, because yeah. we have Obi Toppin here, who I feel like is we have like a diamond in the rough waste of talent right here. And at this point, I really want to see we have like he to me. All the things that Tom Thibodeau really wants, a guy who's going to hustle on both sides, a guy who's going to run the floor, a guy who give 100% effort, is what Obi Toppin does if he gives him the chance to do that. The man was limited to 11 mm-hmm. minutes per game until Julius Randle got injured. I know he's up to 15 minutes or something magical now, but he was at 11 minutes a game for almost half of the season. And then it seems like as soon as Julius Randle is gone, or as soon as he gets that five-game runway, we saw what I saw earlier was a guy who needed time because Obi Toppin, mm-hmm. I've said a million times, is a rhythm player. Yeah. And it really clicked for me in summer league. When I saw him in summer league,
yeah,
and how he played, and he'll start off a quarter slow, right? He'll say, oh man, two for six, man. Oh man, maybe he can't shoot. All of a sudden, 10 minutes later, he'll rattle off like three shots in a row. I'm looking at him. He hangs in the air just like Ja Morant does, just like Ja Morant was doing the playoffs. He'll hang in the air, contort his body, finish, elite finisher. And he's doing all these things. And he's sitting here like, wow, I actually think like if he actually got minutes to play through his mistakes, he'll be able to put it all together, because it's to him, it's just jitters right now. And lo and behold, as soon as he got the minutes, his three percentage goes up, his scoring goes up, his rebound goes up, and yeah. It's not a theory anymore. And I feel like for us to not waste assets, for us to take the next step, I feel like we have to get Randall out of here, clear the path for Obi Toppin, and live and die by that decision. Whether it works out or not, live and die by that decision. But pick a direction, because right now we're in the middle, and the middle is going to leave us nowhere.
Ryan G, how you feeling, man?
Well, Julius Randle, I'll say this. A lot of his game this season, like the things that went well for him last season, just didn't go well for him this season. Because I think one of the major things was his three-point shooting. Last season, he shot 40% from three, which is amazing for Julius Randle. And because of that, teams respected his three-point shot, which opened up the floor for the Knicks as a whole, and that allowed Julius Randle to be a bit more of a playmaker and get other guys open shots, because so much attention was focused on him last season. But this season, his three-point shot disappeared. He became more hesitant. You know, he, instead of just reacting, he was just thinking a whole lot, and then him thinking a whole lot resulted in a bunch of turnovers. Then on top of that, you know, this guy is getting angry with fans, you know, getting angry with the refs. And then the thing about it, the thing that really pissed me off about this season with Julius Randle, number one, the lack of accountability from Thibs. Because there's been many times where we saw Julius Randle being lackadaisical on defense, and Thibs will shout at anybody else. He'll shout at Obi. He'll shout out anybody else. But when it comes to Randle, he doesn't reprimand Randle in any type of way. And
I know he's delicate.
Huh?
Because they know he's delicate. You know, you mess with his ego and that's it.
Nah, yeah. Randle got pictures of him doing something crazy.
And he tried to do that in Minnesota, and he got fired for it. So he's scared to do that in New York. So you have a cat ran him out of town. He didn't want to have a cat part two over here in New York City. So he's like, he shut his mouth.
Exactly. And bring
me the old tips. All right.
Yeah. and my whole thing is this, is like, look. Randle has such a negative impact on the team. And like J. Ellis said, when Obi got the extra minutes, he started to score more, percentages went up, etc. So my thing is this, when it comes to Randle, it's like, if he has such a negative effect on the team, then you have to let him go. Like, you can't be like, okay, you know, let's see season four if he's going to improve, whatever the case may be. We've had three seasons of Randle. And so far, he's been missed two of those seasons and hit one of those seasons.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not a sure thing you have with Randle. So it's like, why not move Randle and then move Obi into that position to see how Obi does? Because to me, too, it's like, okay, the Knicks are trying to go after that superstar player, right? To get that superstar player, you need to up the value of your young players. How are you upping the value of Obi and those guys, etc., if you're going to have guys like Julius Randle in there taking away their minutes and not allowing these young guys to grow? Right. And my whole thing is like, got young guys like Obi quickly, etc. There has to come a point in time where you have to find out what you have in these dudes. Are these dudes starters? Or are these dudes bench players? Mm-hmm. And the only way you're going to find out is if you throw them into the fire and have them start and see how they do against other NBA team starting lineup. If you don't do that, then you don't know what you have in these players.
Yep.
And their value does not go up. Value stays low. And then if you're a team like the Knicks where you're hoping to bring that superstar player, then you don't have the assets to get that player. So like JL has said, you can't be in the middle. It's either you go one way or the other.
That's it. I mean, I can't disagree with anything you're saying at all. Like, I mean, it's hard to see a positive future here.
You what?
You froze.
I see a lot.
A lot of
he's
what?
Knowledge right now. He don't even know. He's best takes of his life right now.
There you go. You back.
I'm back now.
Sorry.
Because I tell you one thing.
Listen. Anyway, before I get cut off again, what I was trying to say is that it's not about who's better. Clearly, the better player out of the two is Julius Randle. You know, and I'm not trying to say that Obi Toppin is better than Julius, but I do think that there's things about Obi that makes the team run better. You know what I mean? There's just an infectious mentality and play style that when he's on the floor, these guys run. Everybody runs. Everybody runs when he's on the court. Somehow, everybody has the head up, looking up court. Easier buckets when he's on the floor. Somehow, he's not better, but he gets easier buckets. So, you know, I'd rather have a lot of guys on my team like that, who you don't have to force the ball into the hole every single time they're trying to score. Listen, we can get a few guys who are going to make selfless plays and just get to where they need to go. You know what I mean? And that's the kind of player that Obi Toppin is. Now, it's not getting rid of Julius Randle so that, oh, yeah, so Obi Toppin can be a star. That's not the point. The point is just, like you said, addition by subtraction. We don't want to have somebody here who's eventually going to just break down these guys because they know he doesn't want them to have the ball in their hands as much as they do. You know what I mean? But
I don't think there's an answer here. I don't think Randall's the answer. I don't think Obi's the answer. But I think the best point that's made is that you need to develop these players so that you can get some type of value from them.
Exactly.
But you have a coach who wants to win every single game, which I like, but at the same time, it hurts when you're trying to develop.
Yeah, but we're losing.
You're not playing them. I know, and we're losing on top of that.
Right. Well, he wants to win so bad that he goes off of what he knows. And that's not, you know what I'm saying? Like that's
they don't get the time to develop.
Right. They don't
get I think today's NBA, it calls for a different type of coach. I think Thibodeau is not the coach of the future for the Knicks or any team for that matter. Mm-hmm. I don't even think that he's that guy. When you look at somebody like Udoka, I can't wait to watch, like, you know, when they're going to make, like, the film about him and what happened and all that. I can't wait to see what he does next season to see what's happening here because – I thought Tibbs was like a good coach, you know what I mean? Then you see things that he did, like with Derrick Rose when he got injured and all these different things and all the factors that coaching had with that, you know what I mean? And I just feel like, I don't know. We've been talking about this since he was a coach that first season. Mm-hmm. I remember sitting here and I was asking, I was like, do you guys think it's the coach? Like, is it the coach? And then the next season it was like more apparent it was the coach. And then it's like the next season is just like, yo, it's Thibodeau, especially because this season was the season where I saw him tell when he told
Kemba
to give up the ball. I'm looking at it like talking about like you just got the guy. It's game one. Like it's this. And, you know, we beat Boston that game. Like you said, Ricky, earlier, we beat him by 30 that game. Then you asked him to take the ball out their hands. It was just and he went off that game. You know, so he had a couple bad turnovers, but he went off that game. Mm-hmm. And it's just like you said, Ricky. All season, the bench proved to kind of be better than the starting lineup for whatever reason. I don't think it, in terms of talent. You know, you have a game where RJ would be good, then you have a game where RJ don't show up, and you have a game where Quickly is good, then Quickly doesn't show up, and you have a game where Obi with 11 minutes though, it's hard to give him. You know, he can't get a rhythm in there. But I think you have to kind of even it out. But all of that is coaching, and I really, really believe that. I don't know if he needs some assistant coaches that get in his ear and some staff that listen, that he respects, that he could listen to. But I really think that's like the big thing for the Knicks. To agree with you, Rick, when you said neither one is the answer. Yeah, I think it's about coaching.
Right, for sure. And, you know, like I said, this goes back to me earlier when I was saying that we don't have any sure things. You know, there's so many, you know, things about our roster that we can't figure out because we're not sure if we have the right coach. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we eventually at some point the coaching has to.
It has to. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
he said it has to.
You're right. You can't have a team without coaching. So yeah, you need
definitely. It has to. Did I blank out? Did I blank out again? Oh my God. Whatever. Anyway, we just one more topic before we get out of here because we approaching the hour mark. Mitchell Robinson. This is gonna be the hardest, probably the hardest part. I don't know what the hell to do. That's just, you know what I mean? That's just me. There's a part of me that would like Mitchell Robinson to stay. And there's a part of me that if Julius Randle is still going to be here, I don't know if it makes sense to keep Mitchell. And I've talked about it multiple times here that Mitchell Robinson doesn't get any looks from Julius Randle at all. He takes up his space, so it's kind of like if you look at a lot of times where Julius Randle's in the post, or he's in a triple threat, or in the mid range, you know, Mitchell's kind of probing around the dunker spot, you know, so his guy is in the paint, so it makes it hard for Julius to make a move. And then Julius doesn't throw lobs at all, like ever in his life. Like, I don't think he even knows how to throw a lob. So, you know, like at least RJ, he'll call a pick and roll, toss a lob up to either. Mitch. Yeah. Who, Julius? Yeah. He's a weird.
That drives me crazy.
The weird
Julius doesn't dunk?
He does not dunk.
He dunks. He dunks he every now and then. He dunks.
He dunks like if he's got it wide open, but he'll even run up. If it's a fast break, he'll still lay it up.
Really?
You gotta look at the
he does do these aggressive layups.
I don't understand how dudes that big don't dunk because sometimes you give the defender some time and you get space in between the rim and the ball. Like, you know, he's getting blocked and it's like, dude, just dunk it.
Yeah, he's kind of weird. But you know, that's, you know, what I'm just trying to say about Julius is that it doesn't work well with Mitch.
But to that point, that's a coaching thing, though.
Well, whether Julius
how to make it work with Robinson and Randle, because if you can see that sitting at home, like him being right there at the court on the court, he should see that and make adjustments for that. And I think any other good coach would find a way to make that work. Because I would say sign Robinson. I mean, what?
I mean, I think if you know that you're getting rid of Julius, you sign Robinson. That's just personally.
Why would it matter though? Who are we getting?
That's what I'm saying. Sign
him. Who are we gonna get there if that Julius is gonna respect and give him the ball? He's not gonna start throwing lobs now.
Well, no, that's not the point. It's the style that Mitchell Robinson plays is what I'm saying. It's not who he is. It's just the style. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But go ahead, Jay Ellis. I know you had something to say.
Oh, I'm saying you don't let Mitch walk out the door. I think you sign Mitchell Robinson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our defense, without, I know people are gonna be crapping on his defense all year, mm-hmm. but like, look at the second half. Look at the second half of the season, right?
He was an anchor.
He was the anchor of the defense. He saved our ass for half the nights with his offensive rebounding, though, mm-hmm. right? So I say you sign back Mitch, and then I would say there still is a problem, though. It still is a spacing problem between RJ and Randle. But I still feel like it's a waste to have this guy in this building for 4 years, develop him, and then lose him for nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
So right. At least
you got to sign him.
So bare minimum, you have to sign him at least as an asset, so you don't.
So they gave all the money to Joel, the Butterfingers over there.
Man, we gotta get rid of him. We paid him, Nerlens Noel paid him $10 million just to not
send him back to Dallas. Boy, get out.
He didn't even play the whole year. He didn't. I don't even get it.
They signed it, bro. Like,
I forgot he was on the team.
If I was Mitch, I'd be like, yo, give me what you gave him. That's all I'm asking.
No. Mitch deserves way more than that. And that's the issue. That's been the issue with Mitch's contract. Is they've always been rumored to possibly offer him up to $13 million a year, you know what I mean, around that ballpark, 12-13. I'd move it up to 15, maybe 16, depending on, you know, the other pieces you have around, right. But now, if Mitch asks for more than that and he starts to creep up towards the high teens and 20s,
that's when you give him the look. You'd be like,
do you still resign Mitch? Because that's the other end of it, because as a player, I don't want him to go anywhere. You know what I mean?
Right.
When it comes to that contract and him asking for that much money, what do you do?
Who's not going to ask for that, though?
Everybody's
going to
ask for that.
And he might get it from somewhere else. That's the issue.
What we got? We're going to be talking about moving Julius to the five.
I mean, at that point, you might have to let him walk, because the thing is, with Mitch right now, if you sign him to something around from like 12 to maybe 16,
mm-hmm. maybe 16, yeah,
maybe 16, maybe 17. Mm. You can kind of still look at him as like a positive asset to neutral asset at that point where you like, oh, I can move him and people aren't going to look at me crazy because he's going to be a top 5 shot blocker, a top 2 offensive rebounder. and he might have a chance
to be that,
huh?
And he wants to be that. He has right. He said he wants to be the defensive player of the year.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Now we want him to, if he develops an offensive game, which, you know, he's actually healthy this season, so maybe he'll actually start to develop like a little.
He ain't gonna develop if he ain't developed at this point. If he, that's his whole thing. He can't create on his own. He should be, though. I feel like he has everything he needs to score. I don't know if he, again, we talk about coaching. I swear, because I'd be like, yo, go in there. Do your little Euro step. If you're looking at Giannis over there, he's bigger than you. He's doing all those moves. Carte blanche, go down there. If you got
it,
go
for it. Do all that. I don't even need.
No, he don't. He don't have to. No. But he got to start with something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He got to put backs because he'll grab the rebound. He's not looking to score. He's throwing it back out. Yo, put it back up. I don't care if you miss. Put it back.
I feel
you. Know what I'm saying?
Don't even bring it down. Like
you get up. Don't bring it back below your hip. Just bring that back up. I don't want to hear nothing. Tap it back. Yeah.
It's go ahead. I mean, to me, it's just the scary part of the money. Because there's teams out there who need exactly what
they probably pay them a couple extra million under the table.
But this is the other part of it, is there's teams out there that need exactly what Mitch is, who probably can offer him more than we want to offer Mitch, because we know all the ins and outs of Mitch. Right now, they're seeing him from afar. They're like, listen, the shell of whatever that is, we just need that. And we'll pay him 20 mil to come here. Now it's up to us. Do we want to match that? You know what
Wait,
I mean?
What they gave Nerlens?
10
mil a year.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they gave him, but then they gave Robert Williams what, like 13, 14?
13, 14, right. Yeah. Which I think
was a hustler.
That's the range.
And that's his real value right now. Because you're looking at Mitch and Robin Williams, you would say Robin Williams edges him out a little bit, right? At this point.
It's in the hustle but category, but he don't score that much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, right. It's the same. You know, so that's what I'm saying. Maybe 15, 16. It's hard to say 17 for Mitch.
Yeah, that's too much. I think that we start. Hey, Mitch, what you trying to do? We got you. I lowball him for like this. We think about 12 a year. What you trying to do? You know what I mean? And see what he come back with.
He'd be like, you know, Mitch, you're like, I don't know, I'm not doing that. He's not doing that. He's not doing that.
But I mean, if you're giving this dude $10 million and he can't catch the ball, yeah, and he's not playing the whole season, and he's older.
We gotta get rid of that contract.
Yeah. Bro, please send him off.
Yeah,
I mean, he was nice off the bench the season before. It just seemed like something about the season before was a little bit more magical.
Yeah,
everything was just working together. You know what I'm saying?
He did. He saved us the season before Mitch was down.
Yes, he did, and that's how he got that money, because the end of that season he was looking good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think I like Mitch. I remember when we first got Mitch.
You're the biggest fan.
Dunking it backwards off the alley oop. I'm like, yo, this kid is incredible. Yeah. He lightweight. Then you show him. You know how they gas you with the film in the offseason. He taking off from half court, dunking the ball. Two steps from half court. He coming down two steps, one, two, and then jumping up, dunking the ball because he's that long. You know what I mean? And I'm like, yo, like if he could implement. And then he said something about he's gonna start shooting threes, but they gotta let him shoot them. And I'm like, I don't know, but his three.
You got to hit free throws first. Like, once you start hitting, give me 75% from the free
throw. Then you get the green light on the threes.
Then you can talk about three-pointers.
I'll be on the bench like this. What's his percentage from the free throw
line? And this is the reason why I brought it up. That style of player, right, that Mitch is, if he ends up asking for too much money, he ends up going. There is a guy who's from Harlem by the name of Mo Bamba. Who has been rumored to want to come home, you know?
He's trying to bring what's his name with him?
Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell.
He's trying to bring Donovan with him. So you know, Mo Bamba. All right, so Mitch, of course, you look at Mitch's stats. He averaged 8.5 and 8.6 rebounds, and I think 1.8 blocks.
Shot what up?
And then Mo Bamba, on the other hand, averages 10.6 points, 8 rebounds, and 1.7 blocks. So you still get that, you know, rim protection, but you also don't get the space. You get the space, you know, in the paint. And if they want to continue this Julius Randle project, which they may have to if they can't get rid of him, like there's no sure trade out there for Julius Randle. So they kind of have to have a different, you know, outlook on that. But how do you guys feel about Mo Bamba at that position to, you know, stretch the floor out, even if Julius isn't here?
I was going to say, Mo Bamba ain't really killing it nowhere. Like, what are you doing?
I've been saying get Mo Bamba here since last season. I was like, give him Kevin Knox in a second for Mo. I was saying that since last year, summer.
I heard a lot of people say that actually.
Yeah, I mean, Mo Bamba's a good player to me. I mean, you know, he can space the floor, whatever the case may be. But if you ask me who I would rather hear, would I rather Mo Bamba or Mitch?
Right.
I'm still taking Mitch because to me, you know, I rate Mitch's offensive rebounding way higher than Mo Bamba. I rate Mitch's rebounding way higher than Mo Bamba, period, whether it's offensive or defensive.
Right, yeah.
You know, when it comes to protecting the paint, I mean, give or take, they're about the same, but I feel like Mitch is a better defender overall because there were times last season when Mitch was defending two players at one time.
Yeah.
You know, off of pick and rolls and stuff like that. And, you know, I think Mitch's defensive IQ is higher than Mo Bamba's. And
for sure, I think so. Yeah.
And I think the issue with Mitch is, look, like the Knicks don't have much point guard play.
Right.
But yeah, Mitch averages 8 points and 8 rebounds. I feel like if we had that point guard here, like if we had like a CP3 or somebody like that to really, you know, take advantage of pick and roll situations and give Mitch those lobs, whatever the case may be, I think Mitch could easily average over 10 points a game and probably get his rebounds up as well. Right. I see Mitch as a potential double-double threat. So yeah. To me, it's like, you know what, re-sign Mitch and keep him here. If push comes to shove where, you know, like you guys said, if a team out there is like, hey, Mitch, here's like $20 million a year, come to our team, then it's like, all right, you know, that's when you have to probably like cut your losses and be like, you know, let him go. But as long as that number's reasonable, like, I don't care if it's Mo Bamba or whoever else is out there, I would keep Mitch.
I still feel like at some point we have to modernize the offense at some point, because if you're looking at our roster, like there's no team in the NBA he's getting to the finals with two people in the starting five who can't shoot. It just
not.
You have to have minimum four.
Maybe one guy can't shoot. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. And now we have Mitch, RJ, who's one season can shoot, one season can't, and really is Randle, who's in the same boat.
Yeah,
like we can't survive. So at some point, even if we do sign Mitch, we have to figure out what his role is going to be long term. Even if we move him later, if we sign him now, because for us to thrive, even if we move Randle, RJ to me is a guy who's going to thrive better with open space and more of a spread offense, like we had in Dallas. Like we have to kind of clear that way. Now that problem goes away if RJ all of a sudden starts to hit that mid range and hit that three at a more consistent clip. Then problem solved. You can still go that route and have Mitch. But as of now, when I'm looking at RJ, it seems like he's most likely going to be an inside out guy.
Yeah.
Not like a Tatum.
Not the in between. Yeah. That's kind of what we want from RJ, is the in between game.
Basically, what you're saying, Jay, is when you talk about modernizing the game, you talk about coaching again. It keeps going back to that. Like, that's not going, none of that's going, we're not modernizing nothing with Tibbs. I don't believe.
Right.
I think it would be great. But I think when we have this kind of culture, you got this hard nose, old school, and so forth and so on, I think it's going to look exactly the way it's been looking. If we keep Mitch, if we send him away, he's going. But I love Mitch, just to add to what you guys were saying. Right. I love Mitch in that position. I think I think if he matures, if he stays healthy, because even that season when we did really good, we didn't have him for a big chunk of that season. I think at the end of the season, we didn't have him or whatever the case. We missed him. And one thing I love about Mitch and having him in there on the defensive end, I've seen a lot of players change their mind about coming in there and they're about to go to the basket. They bring that ball right back out. Right. I've seen that plenty of times when they see Mitch in there because they know Mitch want to block the shot.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? He did a lot of stupid fouls where, you know, he jumping up too much and leaving his feet and so forth. But he got better. I think he's got a little bit better this past season. But if he could stay on the floor and keep Nerlens Noel on the bench, I think that we got a good a nice little a center there. Right. And the players, like, and, you know, I think it's all about how the coach manages the players. That's the big thing about coaches, right? How they manage the players and who they put in, who they put out, how many minutes and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. Because I think Mitch, I like Mitch and Obi together.
Yeah, I think they run out. Were you going to say jealous?
I was about to say, I think the Mo Bamba thing actually, because the coach doesn't want to think before thinking, because in reality, right, to give RJ more space, you might have to run Randall and Obi together, right? But that with that lineup, you're not going to have your traditional five who can block shots. Mo Bamba is still a traditional five mm-hmm. who can block shots but also spread three. So it kind of gives everybody what they want. It gives the coach the shot blocking five what he wants, and it gives us more of a modern offense of a five who can shoot three. So it kind of solves both problems at once, which is why I was for Mo Bamba coming here and giving Kevin Knox away last year.
Right.
But so that's, I mean, but like I said, like if Mitch goes, I'm signing Mo Bamba, and if Mitch stays, then we're going to figure it out and see if he can grow his game and maybe end up moving him later on. Who knows? Or right. maybe he stays and the team develops differently where we can use him.
Especially if you can sign Mo for around the same that you're trying to sign Mitch for, you know,
right.
If you can still get him around 13, 14 million, I think that's a win, you know. I mean, after you lose Mitch, of course, but that, you know, you wouldn't really be. But at the same time, I see someone else in the chat said it, you know, these are all players that a bunch of teams are looking at. You know, a bunch of the same teams are looking at Mitch and Mo yeah. and even DeAndre Ayton, because we don't yeah. know if they're going to re-sign him over there in Phoenix.
Yeah. OKC, Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a whole, you know, a lot of these guys, even the Mavericks are looking for a big. Yep. So there's going to be a lot of competition, and that's what makes it scary, because you don't know what someone's going to do when there's millions and millions of dollars thrown at them. And it changes the you know, the landscape of the league every single year. You know, it yep. happens all the time. So, you know, I guess we'll see. I do want to wrap it up. I don't want to keep you guys too long on Sunday night. You got Monday.
I'm about to say you're running up my minutes right now, Paul.
But, yeah, that's pretty much it, you know. Thank you guys for coming out and blessing us with your presence, Jay Ellison and Ryan G. You know, it was dope. Had a great time, man.
No problem, man. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, man. Thanks.
Of course. Good of course. Course of course. Man. We do this again, man. We do this again. And Dre and Rick, of course, love y'all, family. And
yeah, love you too, man. I've been meaning to say that, man. I ain't said that in a while, man. I love you, man.
That's a problem. That's a problem, big bro, that you haven't said in a while. You
know? I ain't said that in a while, man.
No, you said that on live. So everybody heard you say it. So, you
I know, love you, man.
Kind of messed up. So love you too, man. Of course.
And here you go.
Yeah, man.
Black boy joy.
Thank y'all for coming out. Hey, chat. Appreciate every single one of y'all. Shop Powers, love. RBL, Jose.
If Sha came Jose, up. Jose, you know, the everybody. Hat whisperer.
To everybody. Pudge, you know, Pudge Cody was there earlier. Cody dipped out once we started talking about Julius Randle. He really
he definitely said he's out of here. He said he's like, nothing he about said,
I'm out of here, and that was the last time we saw him talking.
But, basketball.
Appreciate all y'all. Yeah, Raul, appreciate you, man. Appreciate you, man. Thank you guys for coming out. And until next time, man, y'all have a good one.
Peace. Yeah.